listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
Welcome back to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. We are your hosts. I'm Brian, and this is Ed.
Howdy.
And today we've got kind of like a free pick going on. We don't really have a theme, nothing, no chip spotlight, nothing like that. We just really want to kind of get back to the roots and listen to some really awesome music. We have an awesome selection, very eclectic, but all of the tracks are absolutely amazing. Think you guys are going to like them a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of high-energy stuff this time around. We brought us in with kind of a slower-paced one. This one was called Blissful Confusion by Uktumi. And I feel like, I mean, I just love the way this one starts off nice and mellow, and then you get that percussion, and it slows down, like, goes through, like, at least four different kind of movements throughout the whole piece.
Yeah.
It's so cool to listen to.
No, this track for me, I hadn't heard it actually before you introduced it to me, and I was listening to it. Really, at first, it starts off very kind of slow, kind of somber, and a little bit kind of lethargic, kind of
wondering where it's going to go. Yeah,
yeah, kind of wondering where it's going to go, and then it kicks into double time, and it just, oh my god, I could feel my heart like start beating fast and like start getting sweaty. Just, oh man, it was so good. Just an awesome track. And I think the transitions from that double time to the kind of slower pace is so well done. It just feels so, I guess, natural. It's a very natural transition. I think that makes it really, really cool to listen to.
Yeah, and sometimes it kind of takes you by surprise too, because you don't realize it's going to start speeding up that quickly. But then once it does, you're like, oh yeah, that was a really natural transition there.
Yeah.
And we were both kind of talking separately, and we both kind of got like video game RPG feel to this song. I thought it sounded more like Secret of Mana, and you were going for more like the Tales series,
right? Maybe some Grandia 2 or something in there.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time with those soundtracks, so it kind of has that vibe to me a little bit. But you know, any way you look at it, it has that very you know, kind of RPG town, like, you know, kind of 16-bit town kind of feel to it, and then going into like some, I guess, treacherous area. It's just very well thought out. Very cool piece.
Yeah, it feels to me like Mother 3 has a lot of motifs. There are a lot of different melodies in that game presented in different ways as you go throughout the game, and I feel like this is kind of like almost what an RPG sampler soundtrack would be like. Like, here's your melody,
right,
and then here's how it would be in the forest, here's how it would be in a town, here's how it would be in a cave, and it goes to these different parts, kind of bringing that same melody with different feelings behind it, and he handled it so well. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, this is very, very well composed. Excellent track. I can't really think of anything like it that I've heard kind of in this space.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about this track?
Absolutely. Well, Oktumi, I learned about him because he joined our Facebook group over at facebook.com/group/impulseproject. He's been posting a ton of his stuff, commenting on a lot of other people's stuff. He just seems like a really cool dude all around.
Totally.
And so, you know, I was kind of looking at his pieces, and this one just really jumped out at me. It's a 28-channel impulse tracker file, a whopping 1.8 megabytes. So that's probably one of the biggest.
Yeah, one of the larger sized tracks we've had, I think, at this point.
Yeah. His real name is Esteban Palladino, and he is from Buenos Aires, Argentina. This was released on September 3rd, 2015. It was an entry in round 3 of the S3X Mod IT Mania 3 compo on Battle of the Bits. And, you know, I searched around on Battle of the Bits forever. I could not find the results of this compo anywhere. I don't know where it placed. So hopefully if Otumi is listening, he can fill us in on what happened. Because I can find 1, 2, and 4, but I cannot find any information on 3. So it's a ghost somewhere on the interwebs.
Yeah, Battle of the Bits is great, but man, trying to navigate that website sometimes.
Sometimes it's,
know.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Maybe I'm just too old school for it. Like, I can't figure out what I'm doing.
So Otumi's been composing since 1996. He took a short, well, not a short break, but he took a break between 2002 and 2015 where he considered himself almost inactive. So I think he put out a couple tracks within that 13-year time period. He was a member of MOCO, Amplitude, Synthesis, Circe, Lithium, and Fade Out. He's now a member of Pungas, Divia, Martelli, and Hoctoforce.
This guy's all over the place.
Yeah, seriously, all over the place. Hoctoforce is awesome because I'm a big Fist of the North Star fan, so I love
right.
that name.
Yeah.
He uses Sid Wizard, Cheese Cutter, OpenMPT, and Renoise, and then he also kind of dabbles with the other chips like Famitracker for the NES stuff, Goa Tracker, VGM Music Maker, and Deflamask. He also does graphic design and animation, so just kind of a jack of all media.
God. Yeah, he is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're wrong on any of this, he'll probably comment and definitely let us know.
Absolutely.
Where we made our mistakes.
You can check him out at soundcloud.com/Oktumi. Now, he has a version of this track on his SoundCloud that is kind of like an upgraded version using VSTs and sampled percussion and stuff.
Right.
I enjoyed it, but I think I prefer this version better. I think it feels more like a 16-bit video game track to me, and I think I'm more used to music sounding like that, so that's kind of like the way that I like this tune played.
No, I have exact same feelings as that, because I listened to both, and you know, they both sound excellent, but I do prefer this version. It does have, like you said, a little bit more of a 16-bit sampled video game kind of vibe, and I really like that. It's very, very clean, but you can still hear some of the, I guess, the rawness of it. It doesn't sound oversampled. It doesn't, you know, it sounds just very well done just in its own right.
Yeah, and we'll have links to his SoundCloud in our show notes, so you guys can definitely go check him out and compare these two tracks and see what your favorite one is. All right, so what do we got coming up next?
All right, so I'm going to play a track. Not exactly sure what I want to play next because I got some good ones. Actually, all of them are good ones. Okay, so let's go ahead and play one. We've heard from this composer before. This is from Fear of Dark, and the track is called Get a Brian Morans. Heard Get a Brian Morans or Get a Brain Morons, however you want to read it, by Fear of Dark. And this is a 21 channel XM file at 207k. It was released in October 13th of 2009, and this was just kind of a standalone track. It wasn't released in any compo, any demo, anything like that. but it is just, it's such an explosive, energetic, fun track. I've kind of had this on the back burner for a while, and figured I'd throw it into the mix.
Dude, I'm like shocked that he didn't decide to enter this into any competitions, because, I mean, he would have swept. This track is amazing.
Yeah, it's so well done. It's very fun to listen to. I mean, it's just one of those tracks that you can put on and just smile listening to and just have a good time. It's just one of those feel-good tunes. And I think it really fits his kind of composing style. He has some darker stuff, you know, some more a little bit slower stuff. But I think that it still kind of embodies this kind of Fear of Dark vibe that we've heard. Because we've heard from Fear of Dark before in previous episodes. And I think it all kind of goes together. He definitely has set his style.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of composers out there where if they try to manage more than like 8 or 10 channels at once, things start to get really muddy and overproduced sounding. But he's got, I counted a maximum of 20 channels going at once in this track, and everything just sounded brilliant. Everything flowed together, everything fit together.
Yep.
The samples were fantastic. Everything is clean sounding. I saw in the notes that he credited Radix and a couple other big names for some of the samples that he used in this track. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, he's gathering them from excellent people.
Yeah.
I just really enjoyed this one.
You know, there's not a lot of stereo separation in this track. It's actually, it's very minimal, but when he uses it, you'll notice. So, like, there's this part where everything kind of slows down, and there's this kind of like, it's almost like a beeper tone, and it'll go left, right, left, right, left, right, and it'll build right back into that kind of progressive melody. And that trick, I think, is really fun. It makes the track feel a lot more stereophonic than it actually is. It's if you look at it, it's pretty much mono the whole way through. But then those little tiny effects really add to it, I think.
Yeah, it kind of tricks your brain into thinking that it's a little bit more wider of a stereo pan than it really is. It shows that he knows what he's doing, because he's using your brain instead of the actual speakers to create that breadth of sound.
Yeah, get a brain, morons. No, so the whole get a brain, morons, or whatever, is actually an internet meme that I think he's playing with. It's the Go USA kind of thing where that guy misspells moron. And
yeah, so he's like holding up a cardboard sign.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like a little take on that. But I think there's some other things kind of thrown in there, like his own kind of playful jokes thrown in there as well that we certainly wouldn't know. But he says there's a little bit more to it. He spells it in the actual XM file, Get a Brain, but the title of the track is Get a Brian. So.
We've already got a Brian, so we don't need another one.
We don't need another
one. I think that would be too much for me to handle.
I'm too much. Fear of Dark. We talked about him previously. I think it was, oh man, episode 9 when we did our Twisted stuff.
Yes.
Was that episode 9?
That was that.
Yeah, so that was a kind of an offshoot of what he normally does. But his real name is Stephen Johnston. And he is a chiptune artist from the UK, and he does a lot of kind of, I guess, jazz, kind of prog rock, a lot of that style. And he mostly sticks to composing in OpenMPT for his XM, Mod, IT, and ScreamTracker formats. But he started off doing this chiptune project, and the project was actually called Fear of Dark. And that started in 2009. And then the internet kind of just started calling him Fear of Dark. He wasn't like trying to use that as a handle or anything. They just kind of associated that project name with him. So that kind of became his alias from then on out. And so I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, you know, just a lot of these kind of sceners will get their names kind of randomly. It's not always just they come up with them on their own, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. But he had been doing music before 2009. The earliest I could find was 2006. And he's been continuing doing all sorts of, you know, kind of this style format all up until 2015. And he might still be doing stuff now, but I couldn't find anything recently. He also uses Famitracker, Bipola, and Raster Tracker. The later two I've never even played with, so I don't know much about. If you want to find more music that he's worked on, you can go to a SoundCloud page that we will have in the show notes. Anyways, so Ed, we're moving on. What do we got next?
All right, let's hear from another guy that we've heard some stuff from before. This is New Sids on the Block. This is from Qdor and Fegelhuz. Welcome back. That was New Sids on the Block, not to be confused with New Kids on the Block. That was from Qdor and Fegelhuz. 4Panda Design is a 6 kilobyte SID file using the 8580 chip. This one placed 5th in the Revision 2015 Old School Music Competition. I like it because it's got a really cool, kind of a disco vibe, very Euro-techno feel to it.
Yeah.
A lot of cool filtering effects in there. These guys knew what they were doing, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a fun kind of mashup with the two styles, I think, too. I was listening to it in the gym again this morning, and I was just really feeling it. I don't know what else to say there. Yeah, it was just really cool track.
Well, it's got a good steady tempo, especially for working out. I mean, if you're running or lifting or whatever, you know, it's got that steady beat. Everything is right at a good pace for keeping you on track with whatever you're doing. I like how the percussion drops out in different points and kind of lets the keyboard lead take over.
Yeah.
The backbeat will come back up again. It keeps it feeling, you know, very fresh throughout the whole song.
Yeah, I think also, too, there's no weird, like kind of staccato, really abrupt, abrasive notes. Everything does kind of move at a very steady pace and a very steady tempo, and also a very steady volume level too. It's pretty methodical all the way through, I guess, in that sense.
There's a lot of that annoying crunchy stuff that you sometimes get in Sid music for people
like
that aren't.
I like that annoying crunchy stuff.
Right, when it's in a good place in a good genre of music. But if in a song like this where it's supposed to be kind of smooth and flowing, you know, those kind of tones would really kind of clash with this style of music.
Oh, so totally, you don't want totally. That. Yeah, no, so why did you pick this track? How'd you find it?
This one was, I don't know, Qdor was a name that popped up somewhere on my travels throughout the web. I think because I had been looking at Fegelhuz's stuff, because we played him on episode 12, because he had two entries in revision 2016. We played 8-Bit Burgers and Francisco from Fegelhuz.
Yep.
So I was looking up some more of his stuff, and I saw he had done a couple of tracks with Q-Door, so they were evidently pretty friendly with each other. Mm-hmm. And so this is the one that kind of popped out at me. And so, you know, I decided to put it in. Fegelhuz's real name, Fig Wasberger. We've talked about him. He's from Sweden. Q-Door, his name is Magnus Nilsson, also from Sweden. And he's been in the scene since around 2005. His first product was, he did some graphics for a 2005 demo from Fairlight. And then right after that, 2007, he started making some music with Fegelhuz. And then you see Fegelhuz and him kind of pop up in conjunction with each other throughout his whole kind of music career all the way up to 2016. Q-Door was a member of Digital Devotion and Solid Chaos. Fegelhuz was over at Panda Design. Eventually, Q-Door joined Fegelhuz at Panda Design. They started working more closely together, so that happened around 2013. But he's also been associated with Fairlight a couple more times. He's done some stuff for Laxity, Scandinavian All-Stars. So all these really big name groups that are out there, Q-Door's been associated with. So he's got a lot of clout to his name.
Really cool composers. Seriously, these guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, Fegelhuz, like the stuff we played before was just out of this world. And then, you know, this, you know, going into this episode, you introduced me to something like this, and I'm just, you know, I want to know more about this guy. I just want to know, like, his composing process and like how he, you know, he thinks about putting these tracks together even before he sits down at a computer, you know, because there's something going on in this guy's head that just is clicking for demo scene music.
Yeah, definitely. He is still working on stuff today. He released a track called Siddhartha Goes Trauma in 2016, and that was a entry into the mixed music competition at Revision 2016. Came in 18th place. So, you know, he's still making music. He's still entering compos. He's attended a whole bunch of different compos. So, you know, these guys have been active for the past decade in the scene. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And, you know, we've said before, you know, the guys who keep up with it and, you know, stay with it for all these years, it just shows that the community is so strong and the kind of the demo scene, I guess, aura is still with him. That's really awesome. Such a cool thing.
Absolutely. So I am ready for your next track, dude.
All right. So we're going to move from the SID chip and we're going to move over to the, we're going to move over to the ZX Spectrum. What do you think?
I believe you mean the ZX Spectrum, Brian.
Yeah. Well, we'll say it either way. I think I think both of us have said it both ways on this show at one point. So this track is awesome. Actually, I just found it recently, within the last week, I want to say. It's a track from Agent X, and it's called Blue Screen from the Dies Irae demo. We'll be right back. Right, that was Blue Screen, composed by Agent X of the group Exodus. It is a 40 kilobyte AY file for the ZX Spectrum. There you go, Ed. It's a very long track, but you're listening to it in the ACB format. And man, when I first heard this, it kind of blew me out of the water. I wasn't expecting it.
Pretty awesome. I was reminded of, for one, George Sanger's Maniac Mansion soundtrack on the NES.
Okay.
And then once you get into it, like about 2 minutes and 30 seconds in, this is Tim Fallon friggin' guitar solo that pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? This is amazing. It's like two of my favorite like NES songs mixed together. It was really awesome. Yeah,
the first thing I text you when you were listening to it, I was like, man, it's got some Fallon in there, huh? And you're like, dude. I had to make sure this wasn't falling. it's a really fun track. I came across it totally random. Actually, this was one of those tracks that when we were listening to music for our AY episode, I had come across it and I kind of set it off to the side. I really liked the track. I was like, I'll save it for another time. And I re-listened to it, kind of rediscovered it the other day. And I was like, oh man, this has got to go in. I got to switch up my picks. I substituted one out and threw this in. Just really all over the place. It's very bizarre. It starts off, kind of slow, and then it slowly kind of builds up. But then it breaks off into all these weird kind of components, like kind of floating all over the place. I don't know how to explain it other than just these tiny kind of clusters of audio that are just kind of pinging your ear like one at a time. It's a lot of fun to listen to though.
Yeah, especially because I was originally listening to it before you would put the notes up, and you had just put the track in our shared folder. I was listening to it in the ABC, the standard format. And it sounded okay that way, but then once you change it to ACB, it like the stereo spacing just gets so much wider.
Yeah.
And it just feels, I don't know, almost creepier. You've got the percussion in one ear and like all these kind of wavy synths going on the other side of your head. And it's like, it just kind of messes with you. It's a really cool effect.
Yeah, so Agent X, we haven't had him featured on the show yet. His name is Ed Polinsky, and he hails from Poland. Now, this track was actually released, I was saying earlier, from a demo. It was released in a demo called Dies Irae, and this was released by Exodus in 1996, and it came out on like a tape format. You could throw that in an emulator or something like that and listen to it, but just pulling out these AY files is pretty freaking awesome. It sounds pretty awesome this way. So Exodus, not to be confused with the Finnish Amiga group or the PC group, Exodus is a ZX Spectrum group that focuses on doing just, you know, stuff within the Spectrum scene. They do a lot of demos, a lot of music discs, a lot of, you know, art and stuff like that. Just a whole bunch of talented guys working on the platform. Now, Agent X, back over to him, he has been active from about 1989 to 1996, and then there was this break for about 4 years where nothing popped up that he was working on. And then in 2000, so 4 years later, he composed a track for a demo called Letter for Factor 6 by Shiva, and pretty much that's it since then. It was like a 4 year gap, one track, nothing else. Couldn't find anything else on the guy.
Huh.
But almost 50 different AY tracks out there floating around. There's zxtune.com, a few different websites you can go and find all of his music. There's also zxdemo.org. His stuff is listed there. I think DemoZoo has a bunch of stuff. But very cool guy. I wish I could find more information about him, but that's pretty much all there is that I got.
Yeah, I want to check out some more of his stuff.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention that two of your picks. Uh-huh. One is Get O'Brien, and then this guy's first name is Ed. So there's a pattern going on.
Yeah, there's some kind of like, you know, extraterrestrial force, like, you know, embedding these messages into our brain.
It's just fate.
Yeah.
Chip fate.
Chip fate. All right. So what do we got next?
Next up is my last pick. This one is called True Story from Snap.
Awesome.
Back, that little ditty was called True Story from Snap, who was a member of Atlantis. That was a 4 kilobyte SID file using the 8580 chip, and I think the bass is definitely what grabbed me about this track.
Oh, it's killer. It's killer.
Yeah. It's a nice warm tone, very bouncy. And the it feels almost like kind of like waves. It just the accents are very spaced apart, so it kind of just feels like the song goes up and down as you flow through.
Right. I was gonna say the groove of this track. It's just I can't stop tapping my foot, bobbing my head. I'm just when I was listening to it, I was in the zone. It was great. Very just a very cool groove. Very easy kind of to listen to. Steady pace. Doesn't do anything, you know, too out of the box as far as crazy stops or anything like that that really kind of messes with your flow. It kind of lets you keep that positive energy just moving. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit you know, deep about it, but I really like this track. I thought it was really cool, really smooth, very fun to listen to.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not flashy. It's solid. It's well constructed. It's easy to listen to. It's good music to listen to, like, in the background while you're working. It doesn't require your full attention, but you can get the vibe just by kind of passively experiencing the song, which is kind of what I like about it.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to this track actually with my headphones. I think it was during my lunch break. And I had it, you know, I have it playing through like a SID player, and it just plays on repeat over and over, like all the tracks. And it played this track, and I looked down, and I realized, like, oh my God, I've been listening to this track for like the last like 27 minutes, and I was totally cool with that. It's a really fun track to listen to. Totally cool.
Somewhere Snap's ears are burning, like somebody's listening to my music. over and over again.
So I've never heard anything from this composer. You want to give me a little info on him?
Yeah, sure. He is from Norway. His name is Ronnie Nilsson. This particular track came out in June of 1994 as part of Mad Noises, which was a music collection put out by Atlantis, which featured about 20 of his tracks alongside some other composers as well. So I guess in Atlantis, he was like their main kind of like in-house composer guy. He did a lot of work for them. He, in the past, has gone by the handles Peacemaker and Archangel. So there's very, like, kind of peaceful biblical names, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then he was also a member of Zentrix before Atlantis. And then after Atlantis, he went on to form the group Eternity alongside his pal Equal. And that was in 1991. He also does graphics as well on kind of a lower level for some of the demos that he is in. He's also been part of Smash Designs, Replay, Accuracy, Ecuador. So he's got a lot of different associations with different groups, but he wasn't necessarily a member of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his page on CSDB, he's got just scads and scads of credits going as far back as 1990 all the way up to 2012.
That's awesome. Well, he's been in the scene since 1994,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or at least 1994. Well, no, he's been with Equal since 1991. So, I mean, he's been in the, you know, in the, you know, C64 stratosphere for so many years. I mean, all these connections, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, people just know who he is, and he does good stuff. I mean, so this was only about 3 years into his quote-unquote career in the scene, so,
right.
You know, coming up with stuff like this after 3 years, you know, you can only imagine what he put out, you know, 5-6 years
down the road
after this and going forward.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm sure his musical qualities were in high demand, yeah, by, you know, graphics and demo groups.
Yeah. I just can't get over that he had the alias Peacemaker and then Archangel, and then now he goes by Snap.
I know, it's kind of like a downgrade.
It's like,
almost
what happened? Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, really cool track, really fun to listen to, excellent pick. And I think, are you ready to move on to our last one
of the day? What is it?
All right, so this is a fun track. I think, you know, I think everybody's gonna enjoy it. It's from a composer we've heard from before on the show, not a stranger to Impulse Project. So the track is called Imorn or Inananda, and it's composed by Algar. Just heard Imorn or Nananda, composed by Algar, and this is a 8-channel XM file at 76 kilobytes, released in, I want to say, sometime in 2006, not quite sure on that, but excellent track. I have been sitting on this kind of for a while. Love this composer. We've heard from him before a few times. We played Andangan Clementine. I still can't say that name. And then Ninja on Speed. Just really fun music to listen to. He's got a lot of energy. Does just a ton of different things with the volume controls. I mean, if you look at any of his stuff in a tracker and you just pay really close attention to the volume channel, it is all over the place. He really, really abuses that volume channel and creates this very kind of spatial awareness in his music. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, it just feels very natural and organic. It doesn't feel like it was programmed at all. And what I like most about the track, I think the melody was just extremely catchy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was listening to this today at work, and like on the way home, I'm just, you know, kind of like, I'm whistling this random tune in my head, and I'm like, where did this tune come from? And I was like, oh, it's this one.
It's this one. Yeah, it's very catchy. Those drops are killer. Like, the bass will drop and it'll have this very, very kind of slow, and then it continues, but your ear doesn't really hear it because he has it such a low volume, and then it kind of picks back up. And the same thing with those kind of very, very slow arpeggiated sounds in the background. Those are really drop low with volume as well, and then they kind of creep back in, and it's all, each note has its own volume set to it. It's not like it's just, you know, he's adding it in every 10 bars. It's every single note has its own volume assigned to it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it feels very rich and full. You know, he gets almost as big of a sound out of these 8 channels as Oktumi did with those, you know, 28 channels at the beginning of the show.
Oh, totally. Yeah, so Algar, his real name is Jimmy Granath, and he is a Swedish composer. This was composed when he was part of TJC and also the group Titan. And it was uploaded to Modern Archive in 2008. But like I said earlier, it was actually released quite a bit sooner, because on his Bandcamp website, you can see a bunch of different collections that he's done. And there's one called Chiptune Collection 2003 to 2006, and this was actually part of that. It's a pretty cool collection. There's 18 tracks. It goes for about $5 and $5.50, something like that. But it's really cool. I actually bought it right before this episode because I wanted to do my part and you know, contribute to this awesome music that he's creating. It's very fun to listen to, like I said.
Yes, absolutely. And did you mention what the translation was for the title?
Oh, no, I didn't, actually. So I could have just read the translation off as the title, but it's Swedish for Tomorrow is Another Day. And I think that's really cool. It's I don't actually see the correlation so much, but with the music, but it, you know, it's a positive meaning. It's a very positive, energetic, kind of feel-good track that kind of go hand-in-hand, I think. Now, Algar, we kind of got into him a little bit before, but there's a few little tidbits that we left out. So he's been doing music since 2003, which is kind of the earliest I could find, but he's still releasing stuff now. So last year in 2015, he released an album called I Grew Up With Video Games. And it's a pretty cool little album. It mixes a bunch of kind of Game Boy style music with XM, modern EDM chiptunes, and a bunch of other kind of chip formats kind of thrown in. It's really cool, and it only goes for $6. So, you know, you got no excuses. Go listen to it. If you like it, pick it up.
Excellent. This was a great collection of tracks. I'm very happy with our show today.
Yeah, no, I think we had just a very fun, kind of eclectic mix. We got three kind of different formats. We got the SID, AY, and we also got our, you know, our Mod XM kind of tracker format stuff. Kind of just a fun grab bag, and all the tracks are just excellent.
All right, that about does it for our show. As usual, you can check us out on facebook.com/groups/impulseproject. That's where we post the show. We have the show notes. Lots of listeners and composers hang out there. You can come and check out what everybody else is posting. Actually, a few of our fans have just started getting into tracking and making their own chiptunes. Like, they weren't even composers, and then they started listening to the show, and it kind of influenced them to start doing some stuff. So,
Oh, yeah.
So we had a couple of covers of... is actually just today, as of this recording, our buddy Cam Werma created a...
Mega Drive track, right?
No, it was a Famitracker version.
Yeah,
a Famitracker version of Daya's
Korra. Yeah.
So, and it came out really, really well. He handed me the NSF file. I made a little stereo version of it. I'm going to do a hardware recording, so he's going to post that one up too. So yeah, we're really getting this kind of community going. We're, you know, composing tracks just kind of all based around this whole Impulse Project show that we're doing. So it's really cool. Really something to look out for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, if you're new to the whole, you know, demo scene, you're new to chiptunes and tracking and stuff like that, please join the group. You'll learn a lot. You'll have a lot of fun. You could share what you find, maybe discover some stuff. If you're an old time scener, this is a great place to hang out and talk about, you know, the music of yesterday and also what's going on to kind of preserve this demo scene culture in right there in the Facebook group. Also want to give a shout out to Serator from Austria. Left us a review on iTunes. Appreciate that. Very cool of you. If you guys want to leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it, because, you know, it kind of helps us judge how we're doing the show and, you know, what you guys like, what you don't like. You can always let us know in the Facebook group as well. And any other means, I guess we're kind of all over the place. You can go to the Poet page, stuff like that.
Yeah, and it, you know, it doesn't matter what country you're in. If you want to give us a review on iTunes, a couple people were like, well, it's not going to mean much if it's not American. Just because we're American doesn't mean that other people don't search out our show from different countries. So
90% of our reviews are coming from Europe. So
yeah.
So this is almost more of a European-based show than an American-based one. I guess. I don't know how to judge it, but, you know.
The scene's popular worldwide,
yeah.
So it's fine by me. I'm just glad people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't want to get in the whole social media thing and you want to just get the kind of fringe benefits of the Impulse Project social media, you can join us on Twitter at ImpulseCast.
Right.
You know, we tweet there once in a while. We basically put out our show. And, you know, we do share a couple tracks here and there on you know, like YouTube links and SoundCloud links of stuff that we've come across.
Right. And if you want to find all the links kind of gathered into one specific place, impulseproject.info. That's the website. Thank you guys so much for listening. Ed, you got anything else?
You can follow me individually on Twitter at Ruiner9.
Nobody wants to do that. I'm just kidding.
I'm awesome. I have good tweets sometimes when I'm drunk.
And and I'm Doki Doki Panic on Twitter. And we have a lot of fun doing this. Hope you guys enjoy it. Catch you in a few weeks for the next episode. It'll be episode 17, and not sure what we're gonna do yet, but I think it'll be fun anyway.
Yep, we'll see you next time, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Peace.